what you are basically. Deep, deep down, far, far in, is simply the fabric and structure of existence itself.
Peace for all men and women, for all men and women, for all men and women. Not merely peace in our time, peace in all time.
Honestly expressing yourself.
Peace for all men and women, for all men and women, for all men and women. Not merely peace in our time, peace in all time.
The fabric and structure of existence.
Hi everybody, welcome to the Parallel Mic Podcast. Today we are joined by a first-time guest. His name is Wayne McCroy. Wayne is the author of numerous books on transhumanism and spirituality, and is also host of Alchemical Tech Revolution, which is a show I personally am a huge fan of. So thank you so much for joining us, Wayne. Like I said, I am a big fan of your work. I'm sure this is going to be a great conversation. Getting into transhumanism, what it means for us as a species, what it means for us individually and also spiritually. But before we get started, Wayne, do you want to just tell listeners a little bit more about yourself and what led you to becoming an expert on this topic?
All right. Well, thank you, Mike, for having me on. I always appreciate getting out there on different shows and podcasts and things like that. And speaking to the people out there, what got me involved with this? Well, I've always been a very curious person by my very nature. I've always been interested in things like the paranormal, the supernatural, all of these types of things. So I doubled down my efforts into researching these different topics once my now 15-year-old son was born and he had had a reaction to a shot he had and has since developed autism. So that got me really delving deeply into a lot of these different topics, these different rabbit holes that people would call conspiracy culture. So I started looking at all of this different stuff and really thoroughly researching on a massive scale with a lot of this. And wouldn't you know, no matter where you go down whichever rabbit hole you choose in this conspiracy type culture, you will always invariably fall into one of two places. And they both connect. On one end, you'll always find the occult. And on the other end, you will always invariably find transhumanism, which is the culmination of the occult. So any of these type of topics that you begin to research or look or delve heavily into, you will always find those two things. And they are interconnected, as I have discovered through the course of my years and years of research into this. And so that's kind of what got me going down this rabbit hole of transhumanism, because it is the culmination of everything that was laid out in the old occult schools and mystic fraternities of antiquity. And it's the culmination today, through the use of high technology, of what they call their great work. So this is exactly what they've been pointing to for the longest time. And they see this being in their grasp now, now so more than ever before, with the uses of the technologies that they have today. So they've incorporated this into their belief system. They've inculcated it upon the masses. And here we sit at the precipice of their quote-unquote new age. At least this is how they see things, and this is exactly what they're pushing and what they want. So transhumanism, it's a very interesting topic, and many people are largely unaware of its existence. And what this is a philosophy that has been popularized and brought forward, beginning first with Julian Huxley, who coined the term transhumanism. And most people probably wouldn't even realize that. And if you've been looking at any of this stuff for any length of time, you'll recognize the name Huxley. So Julian Huxley's brother, Aldous Huxley, wrote Brave New World. And there's no coincidences with any of this stuff. These guys were definitely keyed in to the circles of power at the time during their lifetimes. And they understood what the intentions were behind many of the agendas that were being promoted. And they were part of the planning phases of it. So when you see a book like Brave New World, this is part of the blueprint that they use to get things done. And of course, these guys ran the same circles as Eric Blair, otherwise known as George Orwell as well, who also wrote very in-depth about things to come. So they give us clues as to what the intention is and what their vision of the future looks like if you just pay attention. And oftentimes they put this out in the form of fiction or entertainment in order to indoctrinate the minds of the masses to accept this when they see it in person beginning to happen in the world around them. So we have all of that. So I guess I answered the question as to where it is I got started with this stuff. But here's the big thing that it culminates into. When you delve into these realms of research, you will always find transhumanism and you will always find occultism. So that's kind of how I got involved with this and began to see the writing on the wall and recognize that transhumanism is the big granddaddy of all conspiracies that underlies everything in our world right now. So that's the bottom line as to what had brought me about to this type of research.
Yeah, you picked up on a lot of things there, Wayne, that I'd love to get into in tonight's podcast. You talked about the psychological operations that goes behind it as well, almost to inculcate people into believing that this thing exists long before it does, and maybe in capacities that may never be achieved. And I'd love to go down that track later on, because I think there's a lot of that going on right now with Elon Musk and AI and these many pieces of information and videos and, I don't know, the supposed experiments, right? They say, Wayne, they say that they're doing these experiments and they're showing us evidence of them, but I question a lot of these things to see if they're actually true. But you mentioned about Julian Huxley, who was head of UNESCO, and we've spoken about him a few times on the show, and how he coined the term transhumanism. But does it go back even further than that, Wayne? Is this something that we can trace back hundreds of years, thousands of years? How far back does it go? And was there a point where it flipped from, let's say, the old alchemical process to a more technological process? Because I know that's what you specialize in, kind of bridging that gap between the two.
Yeah, certainly. Well, this ideology can be traced back thousands of years, really, way back into antiquity, into what are called the ancient mystery schools. This was their ultimate goal. They called it different names at that point. It wasn't known as transhumanism. It only took along this technical or technological type of a moniker only in modern times here. But essentially, this was what they would call apotheosis, or illumination, man elevating to the position of God. And this is at the heart of all the things they teach. And it is the essence of what is called the Luciferian philosophy. That is the ideology that underlies many of these different occult groups and fraternities. And when you trace back these ideas, you could find that they go all the way back to antiquity, to prehistory, when we kind of lose sight of where it is they came from. But by and large, this has always been the teaching. They called it apotheosis. It's about man becoming God. And you could trace it back even into the Bible, to the Garden of Eden, to that story, where the serpent told Eve, you can be as gods. It's the same thing. It's the great lie from the Bible. And it is a lie. I mean, all of this transhumanist stuff is a lie when it comes down to it. And we'll get more into the technical side of that, I think, as we go along here. But we'll see how it's a promise that can't be delivered upon by those people that are pushing it on the masses. And it fulfills certain agendas that they have in mind. Because, you see, when you get down to the modern ideologies behind transhumanism, the ones that have arisen from these old occult principles that go back to these mystery schools of antiquity, you find that basically the idea behind it is based in a little something called eugenics. And I don't know if you've spoken about eugenics on here before, but this is at the heart of transhumanism. And transhumanists, pro-transhumanists out there, you could even find a pro-transhumanist YouTube channel called Transhumania, who in one of their videos that they put up on their website, on their YouTube channel, to describe what transhumanism is, they describe in that video, it's almost a 5-hour long video, if I remember correctly, I don't remember the title of it, but in there, they actually, at one point, they tell you what transhumanism is in no uncertain terms, and they describe it in their own words as, quote, eugenics without coercion, end quote. And this is coming from a pro-transhumanist point of view. So they're telling you what it's all about. It's about eugenics. And eugenics, of course, has to do with the selection of favored races according to the old ways of thinking about it. And this was a term that was coined by Sir Francis Galton, who was the cousin of Charles Darwin. And all of the ideologies that promulgated in that time period are derived in these eugenics-based types of ways of thinking. So that being the case, much of what's been foisted upon us in our modern science is based upon these old principles. And you could trace eugenics back even further than Sir Francis Galton. It just wasn't called that back at the time. You could go back and look in Plato's Republic, where he describes something that could be described as eugenics in a modern sense. So these ideas are old, and they promulgate through all the secret societies that have arisen out of the old mystery schools. And this is where the core of our modern notions of racism and everything come from, too, because it's all part of their secret doctrine that is promulgated through these secret society groups and these secret schools. And this is where the ideas of eugenics come from. This is where the ideas of certain racial groups being somehow more spiritually evolved than others, that's where these ideas come from. It's from these old mystery schools and from these secret society groups. And it's been foisted into our education system, foisted into our political system, foisted into the media. And that's the main conduit of all of this type of stuff right now. It's the main vehicle for the pushing and the promotion of all this racial tension that, quite honestly, probably should not ever have been there in the first place. But because of the actions of some of those within the bounds of these secret society groups, pushing their belief systems on the outside world in subtle ways and not being straight about what it's really all about, they've made these things manifest in our modern world. So in these days, when you think we'd be past such really archaic types of ways of thinking, according to themselves, they're still obsessed with this notion that perhaps that there are some racial stock in this world that are somehow more evolved than others and therefore have the divine right to rule. And all of this goes back to these old occult teachings that they have that promulgate within these secret society groups. So this is the core from which all of this was birthed, from eugenics into now this modern notion of transhumanism. And it's the whole technological application of it in our modern scientific viewpoint that's been applied here to steer people's behaviors and their mental states into certain directions here, their acceptance of certain programs, their acceptance of certain things, because it's all about these methodologies that they've developed in the secret schools through the years of influencing people's behavior patterns. And certainly we see that going on around us. This is the science of social engineering. And this is at the heart of all of it as well. So, I mean, there's so many different directions we could go. It's very hard to describe what exactly is transhumanism. How does it relate back to all of these different things in a short space of time? This is something that's taken me many, many years to break down. So it's not something that you're going to get in one-hour program or two-hour program or some such thing. But I'm just giving people a broad basis of where they could begin to look to find some of the answers for this. So certainly, I don't know if there was anything specifically you wanted to touch on here as it pertains to it, but that's kind of a broad overview of what transhumanism is, where it comes from, how it connects back to these old mystery schools.
Yeah, no, I think that's a great start. And what we'll do, Wayne, is I just wanted to lay out for listeners who maybe haven't put as much thought into it. I've got the Encyclopedia Britannia quote, and I think this is actually very useful because it ends on a key part that I want to touch on. And it says, transhumanism, philosophical and scientific movement that advocates the current use of emerging technologies such as genetic engineering, cryonics, artificial intelligence, and nanotechnology to augment human capabilities and to improve the human condition. Transhumanists envision a future in which the responsible application of such technologies enables humans to slow, reverse, or eliminate the aging process to achieve corresponding increases in human lifespans and to enhance human cognitive and sensory capacities. The movement proposes that humans with augmented capabilities will evolve into an enhanced species that transcends humanity, the post-human. So essentially what they're telling us, Wayne, in their own words, is that this is just a temporary condition. Transhumanism is our vehicle to transcend what we are as a species and become a post-human. So they're talking about the elimination of human beings. That's essentially what it is, isn't it? Is that human beings will eventually get eliminated because we're going to be superseded by the post-human. And that is something that I don't think most people understand. So maybe we can start with that part. This is essentially anti-human, isn't it? It's saying that we were born defective, that our creator doesn't exist. And if he did, he's a failure. And therefore, mankind has to supersede him. And we can do that. And we are capable of that, which, like you said, is the Tower of Babel. But yeah, this is anti-human, isn't it, Wayne? It's about getting rid of human beings because we're defective in their eyes.
Absolutely. For some reason, in their hubris, these people who have adopted these ideologies, they think they can build a better man, build a better world than God, our creator. And this is a false notion. No creation can ever be greater than its creator. So when you look at it from that lens of observation, then you begin to understand a couple things. So these people have become so deluded by their own belief systems that they think they can do it better. They think that man can achieve what they call this self-guided evolution and become the post-human. And of course, this most certainly has to do with the merging of man with machines in order to get there. So this is the kind of thing they promote through this transhumanist philosophy. Now, the transhuman state is the transitory state between human and post-human. And this is what people largely miss the whole point about. It's a short-lived existence, a short-lived state of existence, this transhuman state, where man will become merged with the machine and eventually become this post-human. Now, they call this self-guided evolution because they think that by achieving this post-human state through these technological means, they can become something greater than they are now, that man can achieve godhood, essentially. And this has always been the priority of those within the secret schools. They want to achieve this apotheosis. They want to become God in no uncertain terms. They want to have absolute control over not only themselves, but everything around them, the world around them. And this whole transhumanist push is not just for human beings. You see, this is going to encapsulate the entirety of the world around us as well. They're artificially changing the world around us to correspond to this state of existence. That's why we have the heavy chemtrailing going on. They're trying to change the chemical makeup of the world around us. That's why we have all of these different radiations in the atmosphere, all of these different frequencies. They want to change the frequency, and if you've been paying attention to something called the Schumann resonance, you'll know that that has shifted slightly over the course of time, and this is due to some of these efforts being made by those pushing these types of technologies upon mankind in order to shift mankind into thinking into this transhumanist notion of things, to accept that in order to step into the future, we have to merge ourselves with our technology and become this next state. And like I said, they do refer to it as self-guided evolution. And this is the heart of hubris, because the whole notion of evolution is a false paradigm to begin with. And this all goes back to these ancient mystery schools as well. You see, they teach within their secret doctrine that this evolution process is a spiritual thing where man can ascend into different evolutionary processes through the course of time and through his spiritual development. And they've taken and perverted and inverted and twisted this into something that can be traced into the physical paradigm here, the material paradigm. And this is called Darwinian evolution. You see, they take their old beliefs in these occult principles and they foist them upon the world in the form of our modern, quote-unquote, science, which could more rightly be called scientism. Because there are old accepted natural sciences and alchemical sciences that have been known from time immemorial to man that prove to be true over and over again, but they are working against the natural order of things in this world. They seek to invert the natural order and make it into something wholly artificial. And I'm talking about the entirety of existence here, not just mankind himself, but the whole creation. They want to try to invert it and turn it into something completely artificial that they could control. And we are bound by these natural laws that the Creator put in place here. And they recognize that to a certain degree. So they do their best to work within those natural bounds as much as possible. But when those natural laws don't suit their agenda or suit what it is they're looking for, they seek to invert them or somehow subvert them. And this is at the heart of everything. So if you want a true definition of what Satanism is, it's the inversion principle. That is Satanism. They seek to completely invert everything the Creator set out into motion here and turn it into something completely artificial. So understanding that, they realize that they could only go so far in the transformative process in this world with those types of ways of thinking. So they do leverage natural laws and natural energetic principles when they can to push their agendas in certain directions. But when they cannot, they still, in their hubris, seek to overturn the natural order of things. And this gets a little confusing and convoluted at times for people. If you're looking in, if you're new to these types of subjects, you need to understand there's a lot of old occult principles that are taught within the secret society groups and the occult fraternities that modern man, the modern public, I should say, doesn't understand or even think as being reasonable or acceptable. And they know these. There's these secret sciences that occur behind the scenes that they use to steer and manipulate things in this world. They understand certain natural principles, natural energetic principles that can be leveraged to bring about certain changes. As an example, I'll use the big thing that just happened a few weeks ago. We had an eclipse here in the U.S., a major eclipse. Well, things like this have always been a signal or a harbinger of bad energies being inherent in the world. Now, we've been taught, we've been indoctrinated to think that anything you would term astrology or these astrological types of ways of thinking in Western culture, that it's nonsensical. There's nothing to it. It's just hokum. Either that or you're taught that these things are evil by nature, and therefore you're not supposed to look at them, not supposed to consider them. We've been taught to think that's all the backwards ways of thinking, but certainly, historically, if you go back, you could document that every time there's been a major event like this, there has always been negative ramifications. Well, you see, the controllers of this world, those ones behind the scenes that follow these occult principles, these occult teachings, they understand that there is an inherent energy present in the natural world that can be leveraged to bring about some type of negative change. Now, negative doesn't always connotate bad, okay? Negative, when you're looking at it from the polarity spectrum, we have positive and negative, much like a battery. Well, this brings negative energy into the world, and they can leverage it to achieve certain goals, because they understand that this energetic principle, this energetic force is present, and they can use it to manipulate human consciousness, because the average human being out there in the public realm of things doesn't understand this, or was taught to think it's a backwards, archaic way of thinking, there's no such thing, etc., and they don't acknowledge it. So there's this whole energetic principle that could be utilized and used to achieve certain goals that the people are largely ignorant of. So they do this all the time. And we see this. We just had this major event, this eclipse. Well, what has come about since that time? And of course, all over the media, you see people mocking and laughing about those people who are out there saying that this is going to bring some big changes in the world. And certainly, we've seen some things go down since that eclipse, haven't we? There's been multiple earthquakes, weather events, wars, and rumors of wars. Now we see those things going on as well. All of these different events that have happened, all these man-made and natural disasters that have occurred since then. So this is a signal. And those dark occultists who run things in this world understand a little more about how to wield some of these energetic principles in certain directions. So they've steered some agendas in that way. And you could certainly see that just looking at the things going on in Israel right now. This has been leveraged. Okay, they've leveraged this event. So regardless of whether you think there's anything to it or not, the important thing to understand is there are people in positions of power in this world who very much believe in these things, and the things they do to act upon their belief in these things will affect all of us. And that's at the heart of all of this. Even if you do think it's all hokum, it's all nonsense, consider that, because there's people in positions of power that will try their very best to manipulate these events to suit their agendas. And we see that going on, don't we? So that's just an example as to the importance of this. And I think I may have veered a little off course here, but get me back on track here.
No, we're going down a good direction, Wayne. And yeah, I've tried my best as well in my past shows to highlight some of the things that you just mentioned. So we've spoken a lot about the solar cycle and Chibhevsky's work, where he showed that 80% of all wars and revolutions occurred at the peak of a solar cycle. Well, we're just going into the peak at the 2024-2025 junction. And look what we're seeing. We're seeing this big push for world war. And also, COVID was at the solar minimum. So that was the low point in the cycle, when everyone's more insular, more wanting to be more alone, perhaps more depressive. And that's exactly when they pulled the COVID scam. So you see these link ups all the time. I spoke about how 9 of the biggest financial crashes in history happened after a solar eclipse in the 2 months that followed around the full moon. So either the first or the second. So we still might see that, but it's happened many times. And I actually found an article that was discussing it going into the 2008 GFC. And he was highlighting this a month before there'd just been a solar eclipse. And he said, well, there might be another one, boys. And then just about 3 weeks later, at the full moon, on the day of the full moon, Lehman Brothers collapsed. So whether it's hokum to some people or not, these things are happening. And people are certainly aware of them at the upper echelons. And they're using them as tools either to indicate to one another when something's going to happen, or to actually, because they do see it happening at around that time. I mean, it's up to the individual, I guess, for wanting to make sense of these things. I know what I feel. I feel like it's both. I feel like both things are happening. The energies are there, and they understand that there's a higher propensity that they'll succeed in what they're doing if they arrange it towards the energy. So that's how I see it. But let's talk a little bit about the main proponents today. I mean, we see a lot of people in the media, and we see the WEF, I mean, Klaus Schwab's talking about transhumanism all the time and the fourth industrial revolution. We see world leaders talking about it, maybe not using that term. They don't say transhumanism, but they talk about the fourth industrial revolution, which is like a safer way of discussing it, I guess, to them. And they say that there's no going back, Wayne, that this has to happen. These technologies already exist. We're on the precipice of vast changes, so we just have to accept it. And then you've kind of got the showmen, like the Elon Musks, who come out and they're pitched to us as our saviors. They see what's happening. They're working in that field, but they're also warning us about the dangers, and potentially they're going to stop it from going down a bad path. And I've heard a lot of people, in fact, I know somebody who even says that Elon Musk is slowballing it. So he's there, but he's actually trying to slow it all down so we don't end up with the brain chip. And I don't believe that, but I want to hand it back over to you, Wayne. Is this a top-to-bottom thing? Is the whole establishment involved in this?
Well, see, this gets into some more philosophical-type questions. Like, is this all guided and directed strictly by human beings, or are there spiritual forces involved here as well? Now, the Bible does most certainly assure us that we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers of wickedness in high places. So certainly there's a spiritual component to this, too. And I, through my research, I believe there seems to be a beyond human intelligence that guides and directs things. Certainly, we have those human beings that are highly placed within the power structure that are pushing some of these agendas. And then you have their little minions underneath them also pushing these agendas. Many of them think they're doing good things or believe that they're doing the right thing. And these are what they term the useful idiots. There's a lot of those out there. a lot of highly educated, useful idiots. Now, here's how I see the paradigm, okay? We have this power structure in our world. And at the very tippy topmost levels of the power structure, I say, and I'm still a little remiss to try to identify exactly who these people are, because we really probably don't even know their names, because they direct things from behind the veil. But at the tippy topmost levels are these dark occultists who run things, as I call them. And it, make no doubt about it, there's dark occultists at the top of the power structure directing things. They're directing traffic. Now, below them, they have these organizations like the Committee of 300 that instantiate changes in this world. And below them are also many of the same people in these circles of influence that run and direct some of these NGOs or non-governmental organizations, these philanthropic groups that send all kinds of money to different agendas or different projects to get things done and make changes outside of the overall structure of governments. And this is an important distinction to make that a lot of people sometimes miss the point about. In our world, we have governments, okay? These are the organizations of officialdom that give you your laws and the enforcement of your laws and things like that. This is the political structure, the political paradigm. So these are governments. Now, exterior to that and also intertwined with that is what you call governance. And this is where the rubber meets the road, and this is how they get things done, is through the use of this concept of governance, because by and large, many of these things are done by some of these outside think tank groups, like the World Economic Forum, like the Rhodes Roundtable groups, like the Rockefeller Foundation, the Ford Foundation, all of these different philanthropic organizations that throw money at different projects and agendas. This is how they get things done. This is how they direct and steer what governments do. It's a term called governance, and this introduces ideas into the public sector for the acceptance of the people from these small groups that instantiate policies on the world stage. So that's why you'll see governments around the world adopting certain things all around the same time. These different structures exist. They're called governance. And these NGOs, these non-governmental organizations, are many of the think tanks that put forward these policies that eventually become adopted by governments and become official. And some of these things aren't ever officially adopted as laws per se, but it becomes the normal, the new normal for observation and for usage by different countries or nation states of the world. So we see all of these things introduced through the course of time. And of course, these also cross the bounds of governments and affect corporations as well, which operate internationally and can set up their own bylaws and stuff like that within the corporation for their employees to acknowledge and for people who use their services to acknowledge. So you have your terms and terms of service agreements and everything that come about from that. So this is the governance structure. And they utilize this in a large scale way to bring about social changes in the world. And many people are unaware that this goes on. Of course, you have all the lobbying that goes on within the political parties. Certain people donate certain dollar amounts to certain political parties to get things done. And of course, there's always the nudge, nudge, wink, wink. Okay, here's some money. Now, you know what bit of law I want put in place. Remember who your big donors are. And this kind of thing goes on around the world and all the different governments of the world. So this is essentially one of the tools that they use to get things done. At the highest, most echelons of these non-governmental organizations and corporations and these governance structures sits these people who belong to these secret society groups. And there's a small circle of them at the top of the power structure that steer and guide and direct things. It's a giant pyramid. It's top-down control, essentially. They promulgate whatever it is that they want done as far as governance goes to their underlings who promote it through the use of these philanthropic organizations, introduce it to key lawmakers and key people in positions of power in the different governments of the world and the different corporations in the world. And they introduce these new actions, new ways of behaving for people into the overall culture, and it becomes accepted. Now, a big vehicle for a lot of this too is the social programming that goes on in media. Not just news media, but entertainment media as well. They get these things done. These people at the top of the power structure, these dark occultists who run things and many of their minions, they understand the human psyche very well, and they know how to manipulate behaviors. This is one of the big things that's been taught down through the ages within the secret society groups. It's about controlling people. It's about manipulating people. That's what they're all about. You see, they want top-down control of everything. They want to be the gods of this place in no uncertain terms. So they've learned different methodologies through the course of time that they could apply to great effect. And understanding some of these natural energetic principles that are inherent in the creation at certain time periods is of vast importance to them, because they know they have a higher success rate when they utilize certain things at certain times. So they've done this to a large degree in our society and our culture today. So we have that power structure. It is a pyramid type structure where you have human beings at the top with not so good intentions for everybody else who steer and guide and direct things. And I believe that above them, there are spiritual components that steer and guide and direct things too. And a beyond human intelligence that sometimes puts all the pieces in place for them to promote their agendas. And we see that this transhumanist notion of things falls into that category, because like you were alluding to here, you have these non-governmental organizations like the World Economic Forum always pushing these things. Now, those key figures in the public, in the mainstream, that are always promoted in media, guys like Yuval Harari and Elon Musk, are they in on it? Or are they just useful idiots? I don't know. I don't have the answer to that. But certainly, we're being handed a false paradigm. If you think Elon Musk is your friend and he's looking to slow things down, you're mistaken. This is the guy that largely came out early and warned everybody, artificial intelligence will kill us if we don't do something about it. And then what does he do? He goes out and he founds an artificial intelligence business and starts building this very thing he's warning us that we need to stay away from. So if that doesn't tell you the intentionality behind it, I don't know what does.
Yeah, I agree. It feels like we get handed through every means and mechanism the people who are going to promote the messaging that's wanted. So it doesn't matter if you're on the left, it doesn't matter if you're on the right. Everyone that we get presented to is going to have a key part of the ideology. And I'd say that even somebody that is saying, listen, AI is going to kill us all, is potentially a part of the PSYOP, because ultimately they're trying to put forward this idea that AI itself is something akin to human consciousness. And there's no actual discussion around that. It's almost baked into the cake that it's a part of human. It's just like human consciousness. And Wayne can have empathy and creative spark and the ability to love and care and all of those things. And AI also can have those things, when that's patently false. Of course, AI cannot have anything akin to human consciousness. So it's a false paradigm in and of itself. And AI will be created by humans. So how can it ever supersede human brilliance that our creator imbued in us? So I find the whole thing very psyopy, although of course there are certain things AI will be able to do that will be very destructive and damaging for humanity. It'll be like this giant spider brain that can just crawl through information extremely quickly and make decisions at the drop of a hat, who to kill and who not to kill. And yeah, those things are terrifying, but it certainly can never surpass human brilliance. But I think they've had to engineer society to this place where we are now, where we feel inferior and we actually are using our creative spark to the lowest possible degree. We're almost zombie-like in our behaviors these days. And I think that's a key part of forming us and getting us ready to accept these ideas. But I don't think anyone would accept them, Wayne, if we didn't have the showman. People would say, this is outrageous. Like, why are we doing this? Like, I don't need to be attached to a phone 10 hours a day. I want to go out in nature. I want to live like a human should live. So I don't know why I'm going with that one, but I just do feel like there's two parts to this. There is the advancement of technologies, and then there's also the chipping away at our Let's say they're also chipping away at the way we feel about ourselves, the way we feel about humans, and our belief in these technologies, trying to actually indoctrinate us to believe that these things could happen. And I don't think all of it's true. I think there's a lot of it that we're making up, but I guess that's like creating an egregore, right? If we believe it's going to happen and we believe these things can act in these ways, then maybe they will, at least in our reality, we'll create our own reality. Just a quick announcement, everyone. We are now going into unprecedented times when it comes to the financial system. We have had pension portfolios collapsing in value. We also have bank deposits that are set up to be bailed in. Similarly, we have a debt bubble that looks set to burst and the potential for the greatest stock market collapse in human history. Moving forwards, protecting our wealth and securing our financial futures has never been more challenging. However, this is what I specialize in, and this is why I'm delivering group coaching for investors. We have our next group being lined up as we speak. Coaching takes place over 12 weeks and it will teach you how to ensure that your pensions, your investment accounts, and your physical assets are protected going into the financial reset. Also, we discuss the opportunities that will be there. This will be the greatest wealth transfer in human history, and yet so few people see what's coming, including traditional financial advisors, that it's never been more important for us to be at the helm of our own finances, and that is what coaching is all about. For more information or to book onto group coaching, please email me at parallelsystems@protonmail.com. That's parallelsystems@protonmail.com. Thank you so much for listening to this announcement, and I hope to see some of you there in our next group coaching for investors.
Oh, there's so many important things that you just said there that I could break down. So let's get back to the brass tacks of it all. The first portion where you were talking about how artificial intelligence, well, certainly it is not the same as the human divine spark. It does not have the creative capacities mankind has. It is not ever going to be greater than humanity. You see, we don't even understand the very nature of consciousness itself. So to say that we can imbue a computer with consciousness through the use of this artificial intelligence technology is a misnomer. They don't understand. So this is all based on a false paradigm. And that's the whole notion here, why transhumanism is so important, because this is not lost on these dark occultists who run things. This is why the transhumanist thing has been tied wholesale to artificial intelligence. You see, if artificial intelligence could stand on its own merits and stand on its own and become sentient on its own, they wouldn't need the human factor. And this falls back on some of the occult principles of antiquity and some religious and spiritual concepts here. Now, I would say the human being is the gateway between worlds. They understand this. This is why they need to merge man with the artificial intelligence. It can't get there on its own. It lacks the creative expression. It lacks the imagination. It lacks the divine spark. It does not have all of those things and therefore can never be conscious. So in order to push this artificial intelligence into a state of consciousness, it needs to be merged with man, the seat of consciousness, the gateway between worlds. It needs to be imbued with a spirit of sorts. Now, this gets into more philosophical and spiritual type questions. It's a hybrid. And of course, we could relate this back to the hybridization program that went on during Genesis chapter 6. In the Bible, if you're familiar with the stories of the Nephilim and the fallen angelic beings and this kind of thing, and we see this is being largely promoted today, this transhumanist notion of things, they're doing genetic engineering. They're doing all of these different things to bring about certain changes that they say will improve mankind. But most certainly, these things are not inherent in the natural world. They are abominations to this created world that we live in. And therefore, if you know anything about the old natural sciences and the laws, the natural laws that govern this place that were put in place by our Creator, you know that these abominations cannot and will not stand the test of time, that they will fail and fall catastrophically, as the example given with the Tower of Babel. So knowing this, nature always self-corrects, and these things will not stand through the course of time. Now, although they may succeed on some level for a short time, largely this whole transhumanist program is going to fail because it's all based upon faulty foundations and it's all based upon lies. So they think they could successfully merge artificial intelligence with human intelligence, with the human being, to create this gateway for this arrival of conscious expression by the AI. Well, if you look at this in spiritual terms, there always has to be a spirit or an animus behind a living thing. So in order for something to be alive and have consciousness, it has to have this divine spark. This is what we as human beings have, or it has to have this animus, this spirit that gives it motion, gives it direction, gives it consciousness, awareness. A computer does not have that, okay? It could probably very well imitate that to a certain degree. But in my view, what this is doing is this is creating a situation where it makes a specific vehicle for some other spiritual entity to manifest that does not belong in this natural reality. And this could be hugely problematic. And like I had alluded to, I think we've seen the same thing before back in the Genesis chapter 6 experiment, as many people have called it. Many researchers have called it. And we know how that ends with the great flood and the destruction of these entities that manifested here, that did not belong here in this natural world. So that being the case, I think it's the same type of an idea going on with this transhumanist push of things. It's about elevating the machine to this level where it has consciousness of a sort. But you see, it's all based on a lie. It can never happen. It can never have sentience in and of itself. These machines, this artificial intelligence cannot. That's why these people at the topmost levels, these dark occultists who run things, why they know in order to try to emulate such a thing, they have to merge man with it. Because otherwise, it's never going to happen. And there's a lot of different directions you could go with this line of thinking. So we have this notion now where some of these companies out there are creating social media avatars of your dead relatives. I don't know if you've seen this. If your relatives have passed on, well, they have a digital representation of them that continues to post things on social media that sound just like this person would, seem to think just like this person would. They imitate this person very well. But you see, that's not really them. That's not their spirit living on in this. And this is one of the false promises and paradigms that transhumanism gives us. They want us to believe that they could allow us to live forever. You see, they could reverse aging processes. They could use this genetic engineering to achieve certain things. And in combination with that, if you can upload your consciousness to a machine, well, then you could have multi-bodied experience. You could exist as whatever you want to exist as. You could transfer your consciousness to a new body, to whether it be a robotic body, a new biological body of some sort, a digital avatar. You could live entirely within a digital world of your own creation. This kind of thing, these are the promises that give us with transhumanism. And a lot of it equates down to this question of consciousness itself. What is it? And maybe we'll touch on this a little bit more in hour two, because this kind of stuff goes pretty deep. And this is where a lot of the important things go with this. But I'm looking at the time and I see we're coming pretty close. So I don't want to go on a long exposition here and have to sidetrack again before we cut off the first hour.
Yeah, this is exactly where I'd like us to go, Wayne. And ultimately, it comes down to this belief that, yeah, we are less than and that the creator failed us. And I think that's why transgenderism is a key part of this ideology too. In fact, I think it's vital to it, because what it's teaching people and what it's trying to implant in our minds, our consciousness, is that human beings have been failed. Therefore, man has to intervene. And all these young people, I mean, just as you were speaking then, you were talking about how we can upload our consciousness and we can choose an avatar. And I was thinking, what, like one of the thousands of genders, or even calling ourselves animals and fairies and God knows what, which they're pushing on young people. I mean, we've actually got schools now in America that are putting bowls of water and milk on the floor for children who see themselves as animals to drink out of. And I'm not even kidding, listeners. You can go online and look that up. So they are chipping away at the children the hardest, but the adults also are partaking in this, because when we accept this, when we say, yeah, let's praise trans kids, let's let them be who they want and express it, we are also accepting this very same ideology that is transhumanism. And that's what they're after. It's not about transgenderism, it's about transhumanism. Would you agree with that statement, Wayne?
100%. This is actually a tool called the Overton window. They like to switch and slowly shift what becomes accepted as quote unquote normal in the public view or public domain by introducing more and more bizarre ideas on the fringes of society. And then over the course of time, they shift the window, this Overton window, to what's acceptable. What was once thought to be unthinkable now becomes the social norm. And that's what they've done with this. It's a step of gradual acceptance to certain ideas. So when you look at something like the example you gave here, where they're putting bowls of milk and water on the floor for kids who identify as animals, well, this looks absolutely absurd, and most people shake their heads and say that's retarded and ridiculous and we won't accept that. Well, that's right now, you see, but this is the further shifting of this window. So right now, what's acceptable is you can identify as some other gender than you are. That seems to be socially acceptable right now, doesn't it? At least to society as a whole. And you always have people arguing these points, but this is what's been introduced. This is what's become the normalized process of this. So now we have this transgenderism that's become accepted as the social norm. And you see the slow shifting over the course of time of this Overton window as to what's acceptable. It began very slowly. It began with perhaps the acceptance of gay rights or some such thing. You remember that gay marriage being normalized. And now people kind of don't even bat an eyelash anymore if there's a gay person represented on the television or something. It's in everything. They push it and promote it in the entertainment media. It's in everything. And it's being foisted upon people, even though it's a very, very tiny percentage of the population. You wouldn't know that. You would think it's the vast majority with how it's represented in media. So they gave us that. And now they've shifted the Overton window to the acceptance of this transgender philosophy, where you could identify as whatever it is you think you are. And now they've given us this normalization process that will eventually lead to the acceptance of, if you identify as an animal or whatever, that's fine. We'll go ahead and we'll reify your delusions by treating you as such. And that's what's presented in the window. So this is what they would give you as the unthinkable right now. But in doing this, in slowly shifting people's attention away from these other notions of, say, like the homosexual normalization or the acceptance and normalization of transgender, now they're looking at these extreme fringes and they're saying, no, that's not acceptable. But in the meantime, they're quietly normalizing transgenderism. And this is all a shifting and steering towards this transhumanist notion of things, because that's what it's all about. They want you to think that for some reason, the creator was a failure in what he did in his creation of us, that we have these limitations inherent in us because of how we were created, and things like gender are limiting factors on us. And this is how they believe, and this is why they push these things. And this is all pushing towards this transhumanist notion of things. And there is a largely techno-feminist viewpoint that is attached to this pushing of the transhumanist notion in our modern society here. So we have all of these different ideas, philosophical concepts all bound up in this, but certainly transgenderism is just one symptom of the further push of transhumanism, because this is the slow shift towards the acceptance of it. So the Overton window being employed in real time, that's what we see here.
Yeah, completely agree with that, Wayne. And I think they got us here because they have systemically been removing meaning from our lives. They removed the belief in a creator through Darwinism and existentialism. And over the past 100 years, it's gotten worse and worse. And I can see the charting of it in my own life. I remember when it was still considered outrageous for Britney Spears to produce that video for her hit single One More Time, or whatever it was called. And today we are so far so much further down the path than that is absolutely unreal. We've got kids at drag shows. I mean, how do you get from there to there in the space of 20 years? It's unreal. But in part two, Wayne, I really want to get into the spiritual side of this one. I've got a lot of listeners who are on that search for meaning, lots of them who do believe in a creator. And we see what you see. We see that we're coming to some kind of head. There is certainly a push now to destroy those who do have a belief, who do believe in a creator. I think they need to, because that is really the last defense from transhumanism and posthumanism, is the belief that we do have unalienable rights, that we're endowed to us by creator and not by man, that there is a God and he supersedes all diktats of man. And I think that is what they're most terrified of. And I think they're coming for Christians in many different ways right now. But we'll get into that in part two. Wayne, before we go, can you please just direct listeners to your content and how they can support your work?
Sure. Thank you again for having me on. I always appreciate it. If anybody wants to find any of my work, you can find everything on my website, www.alchemicaltechrevolution.com. And from there, I have links to all other different things that I do. I have numerous books out there. The links are there on the website. I also produce the Alchemical Tech Revolution podcast. All the episodes are hosted on the website and also available through Spotify or any other media player that you want to use to listen to them. And I also have a Substack page, which I've been using quite a bit. I do like Substack. It is one of the few platforms left that doesn't censor. So it's the Alchemical Beacon at Substack.com. So that is all the places I could be found. Directly from the website's the best place to go. Once again, www.alchemicaltechrevolution.com. Thank you again. It's been a pleasure here.
Yeah, thank you so much, Wayne. And just one more addition to that for listeners. Wayne's show is one of my favorite shows. Wayne offers things that nobody else offers because he pairs that spirituality with a very, very in-depth knowledge of the mystery schools, the occult sciences, transhumanism, and he links it all together. One of my favorite shows. And if that's a good recommendation for you guys, then you'll go check it out. Thanks so much, Wayne, and I'll see you in part two.
What you are basic. Deep, deep down, far, far in, is simply the fabric and structure of existence itself.
Peace for all men and women, for all men and women, for all men and women. Not merely peace in our time, peace in all time.
Honestly expressing yourself.
Peace for all men and women, for all men and women, for all men and women. Not merely peace in our time, peace in all time.
The fabric and structure of existence.
Not merely peace in our time, peace in all time.